Glory be to God. His name is wonderful, Counselor. Well, I'll just remind you that there's an offering basket in the back tonight when you leave. If please listen and obey. And those of you that are watching, thank you for your giving. 2023, we already had a word from the Lord that we read last week. It's still going to be a year of challenge. maybe the biggest year of challenge that we've faced so far. But there was also, along with that word, that it's also going to be a year of prosperity and blessing for those that'll believe it in. Believe it. So what I'm saying is, you need to be not just waiting to see what happens. You need to be confessing. We have confession sheets in the back for people present. But what I like to do, and I've had for years now, is I have those confessions. We have them in printable form on our website, financial confessions. You can do them in 5 minutes. Compliments of Gary Carpenter. And I don't care if you're a multimillionaire, please confess these things for our church. I'm believing God for you, but please believe with us. Are you in financial straits? No, but we're believing God, and we all need to believe God. I've asked God to increase my giving in this year, and it was already pretty good last year. But I'm asking God in the midst of what is famine. My God, I don't want to just believe in enough for me. I want to believe in enough for my church and enough for other ministries outside of us. So if you don't need it for yourself, well, that's good. Then just shower this place with blessings, and we appreciate it so much. Bless you. So as you leave tonight, that'll be available. Hallelujah to God. We worship you, Father. We're so grateful for our friends and family that are watching. We've never been more encouraged in our life to keep going forward. We bless you. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We may be here 5 minutes. We may be here an hour. We won't be here much past 8:30 unless revival hits. But why do you say 5 minutes or an hour? Because it's one of those times where you just spirit-led and jump off into, I think I know where to start, but as I was praying, I just love it when I know that he's just going to have me speak from the heart. And so, no notes, just a Bible, and I thought about not even bringing the Bible, but then I thought, no, he probably would want me to start with some verses here, so. Hallelujah. Amen. Candy said, what's the title? I said, I don't know. Or Harry said it also. Candy said it too. Praise God. They love it. Harry said, I just love it when there's nothing, like no title, nothing particularly planned. So hallelujah, Father. We glorify you once again. We magnify you. Would you lift your hands with me? We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, looking for your return and looking for this great outpouring that we affectionately call revival. We praise and magnify you, magnify you, magnify you as you come into our homes, as you come into this church. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, I think we'll start in... We'll kind of start maybe pretty close to some of the scripture that Homer was using last week, which was, wasn't that great? Fantastic teaching, always is. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. We worship you, Jesus. Now, when you don't have any notes or really any particular assignment, it's really wonderful because then you can... Your rabbit trails are usually spiritually ordained to be the thing of the essence of the hour, or whatever the Holy Spirit is wanting to get across to you and to I as we grow. So we're not going to rabbit trail. We're going to listen and follow. But you know what I mean. No particular notes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I think that I'll start, or he'll start, in verse 1, chapter 4, 1 Peter. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, we'll arm. The word arm there means to equip. Equip yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For in time past of our life may have sufficed us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable adulteries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the excess, to the same excess, and right and evil speaking, or evil speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. Hallelujah. If there's anything that the Lord is reminding us of, and I'm asking you, it may be simple, but I'm asking you, as well as I'm putting a burden on my own self, because he is, be faithful to prayer. Be faithful to prayer. We cannot have this. I don't care how many times I say it or how many times he says it. We have to spend the time. We have to spend the time and stay and watch in prayer. He says this. Above all, and above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as in the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as, he says, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, what is, to begin with, let's stop and think for just a moment. The beginning of this whole book, he begins to address that he's talking to those that are scattered abroad. He called them strangers that are scattered abroad. And he gives those areas, I won't turn back, Pontus, Galatia, Bithynia, different provinces and different areas that they were scattered abroad, and they were scattered abroad because of persecution. And if you study, and I have studied, and so when we read these epistles, there's a great weight on a persecution and what they were going through. And it's not the relevance of persecution like we think about today. In fact, there's nobody in that I know in modern America that qualifies for 1 Peter chapter 4 in these verses that I'm reading right now, in particular as in the depth. It is going to, I believe, progress in days ahead, and especially even far more towards the end. These Jews and people were scattered abroad, and I will say this. In my studies, one thing I've understood is that it wasn't always just a blatant kind of persecution everywhere, so hard that you couldn't breathe or move or carry out functioning of business and family affair and those kinds of things. In other words, there were pockets. Not all the Caesars that were during the Bible times, those Roman emperors, not all of them always just hardcore went straight at the Christians. At the first part of the Christian church being birthed, it was mostly persecution from the church, of the established church, which was the Jewish nation and the ones that crucified Christ. Rome later got involved. Rome killed Christ, of course, but that was at the hands of the Jews. But later, Caesar turns on Christians, and then you have the great persecution and the Roman Colosseums and Christians being burned and ate by lions for sport. But still, there were areas that these Christian Jews were escaping to that found less persecution than others. It's kind of like, Florida has become an escape place since 2020 because of people living in like California and different northern states where they just couldn't breathe. I mean, not literally, but figuratively, the government was so strong you couldn't. My goodness, people would come down here and they're moving in here by the millions because they're escaping really a tyranny, not necessarily against the church, but it really is. That's the bottom line. It's coming. That's where they're headed. Everything is headed towards persecution of the church. It doesn't matter what all this looks like. That's their bottom line. Satan has unleashed the spirit of Antichrist, and whatever freedoms are being taken away, or whatever, all of 2020 and it was just in 2021, all that was it was a dressing room or a kind of something that they could see the spirit of Antichrist to see how much he could get over on everybody and put everybody on lockdown and just see how far he could go before people would start just going, just throwing fits and rebelling. Well, people from all over the United States have come to places like Texas and Florida where our laws are still more, gives them more freedom and those particular things. Well, this was the case in that part of the world then. People were escaping. And then they were still finding themselves under persecution at times based on where they landed. And they would set up home and business, and they would find themselves there in those places, but then they would come under persecution. And it eventually, the persecution evolved from not only the Jewish state, but the Romans really got involved. So they were having it rough. So when he said this strange thing is happening to you, it wasn't people rejecting them on Facebook. It wasn't that they were being having problems in their local assembly necessarily getting along, or that when he said strange things, these people were, they were under shock. They were under absolute shock of what was being taken from them, as in their finances, their homes, their abilities to function, and they were living under an extreme persecution. And they were Paul addresses, or Peter addresses them in the first chapter, as strangers scattered abroad throughout all these regions. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, I said this a few years ago, And I think more than ever before, you ought to memorize this. This one ought to be on your refrigerator if you do such things, or just put it in your heart and just make sure that it's there, especially for these last days. But my God, what a promise to us. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Glory be to God. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How often do you say, how do you hear people claiming the promise? I want the Spirit of glory and of God to rest upon me. Because of persecution, I want to be happy. Hallelujah. It's not necessarily one of the confessions that you make every day. But let none of you suffer. And this is some of the good stuff that Homer was, he was in a lot of wonderful places. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as a busy, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Hallelujah. And if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So this is where we're at. This is really the scripture I wanted to get to in my spirit. Because I believe this is an end time scripture leading us into the harvest. Because this has to happen first. It really does. And it's present tense happening. It's not, I'm not saying this is coming. It's happening now. For the time, and that word is chaos or kairos, which means season. That's not in particular a great revelation to be had, but it means the season or time has come. That judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be for them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now let's just camp right there for just a few moments. When he says that judgment has begun, it's time that judgment begins at the house of God. In other words, God's going to clean up his church first. And then out of the church comes judgment so that he can judge the world. But what he really wants to do is not, he's not wanting to, I said Sunday, America's under judgment right now. It's under a rebuke. But God's heart is the harvest. But before he can have the harvest, he's got to have the authority of the harvest. But he's got to have full cooperation with the authority that brings the harvest, which is us. And so he says he starts at the church, for this is a season that it's a time where judgment must begin at the house of God. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, well, scarcely there is not what he's saying there. And I have looked it up and I have studied it and I went back and I knew it, but I just went back and renewed old definitions today. Make sure I go to the Greek and make sure it means what I... And then I even checked the Amplified, which I like most of the time. And it verified the same thing. But this is not saying if the... when he says if the righteous scarcely be saved, he's not saying if the righteous can just... It's not like it's a nail biter or... You're just hanging on by the skin of your teeth or hanging on. In other words, we're just barely saved. The word saved there is the word sozo, which means it's an encompassing word, your whole life going forward in Christ. But he's not talking about that you're always in jeopardy of your salvation, like you make one wrong move and you could be in or out of this thing any minute. The word scarcely is not the word barely. That's what I should get across to you. It's not that you're barely saved or hardly saved. The word scarcely is pertaining to the word critical or the word to toil, or in other words, it's a word of criticism. In other words, he's not saying when you go into Christ, enter the door, that when those sins are washed away, that you're in a You're always living in a moment of jeopardy. You could walk in or out of this based on the moment. That's absolutely not what he's saying. He's saying it's once you enter in into this sozo, once you enter into salvation, there is in this walk going forward as God pertains to judgment in his church, there is a critical mass. There is a critical toiling. In other words, you're not going to go forward in salvation without being put under a microscope of the Word of God and a full judgment by the Holy Spirit. Now, that judgment is not like how he judges the world and taking his hand off and things happening that's contrary to prosperity and blessings. This is where the Holy Spirit brings us in. And these are those messages. These are those messages of judge ourselves and walk in more of listening to the Holy Spirit. Long be the days, long gone be the days of those things that are killer sins at this point for those walking in. But this thing still, this pertains to us as the church going forward. He's saying if the righteous critically or in toil be saved. In other words, your salvation going forward as you and I appear as vessels of authority. We're the thing that's going to make this work. We're the great hope in the earth for him. So Peter's saying for them then going forward, your salvation's been put under a microscope. It's been put under the Holy Spirit is going to continue to deal with you. He's going to be critical as a father, loving father, to bring you along into places where you can grow up into him and continue to be the authority or the vessel of authority that he wants you to be. He says, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Hallelujah. So what is he doing with us now? What's he doing with the church that has enough spiritual authority to go in? He's gleaning. He's coming back through. He's scarcely saving us, not, as I said, as in salvation, but as in causing us to come to another level and another level from glory to glory, a perfecting process. As I said, long be the days, we pray, be gone for those who believe that they're in authority to make this thing happen, that they're still dealing with killer sins. And we're not going to go into the definition of those. We're going to speak to you like you've been following along forever at this point in time. But God goes into all those hidden areas. I appreciated what Homer was talking about last week. It was so good. He was talking about a time some number of years ago, but it serves as an example how that he dealt with his niece, and who has at this point in time, not always, but at this point in time, she's living an alternative lifestyle and is with another young lady. And so they were in his home, and you heard the story. I'm not going to repeat that. He didn't want them there. And so he later repented and said, they were visiting, something to that matter. And he later repented and said, he called them and let them know that he handled it wrong, that the love of God was to not cast him out that way. And one of the things he shared was how he contacted Gary, and he said, did I handle this right or did I handle this wrong? And Gary asked him a real important question, like, now would you allow fornicators, a man and a woman who is a fornicator, would you allow them in your home? And he thought for a second, well, yes, I will, I have and I do. And so he said, man, that made sense. And God quickened that to his heart. But in the same way, here's where things are coming to a place in the church. we get those kinds of corrections of our love walk, and we understand how that we're supposed to deal with those that are walking contrary to Christ and they're not born again, how that we're to treat them, because we're going to treat them with the love and the kindness. It doesn't matter what Grandpa taught you about treating those people. Grandpa's old ways have to line up with the Word of God. Homer, just coming back in, I'm sharing some of the stuff that you talked about with your niece last week. And by the way, I know his, you know, how wonderful that whole story was, Homer, but I know his niece, and I won't call her by name, but if I see her in this town, boy, I'd go out of the way to share love with her, hug on her, love on her. She was cooking at one place a year or two ago. I don't know if she's still there. But anyway, if I see her, I'd do the same thing. But so God's taken us into this where he's changing a lot of things in us. Way gone past the days are the killer sins. Now he's teaching us places of love, how to walk in love, how to walk in true biblical direction and discernment. See when and I just mentioned that, but when Gary said that, gave that information or that word of wisdom, which was perfect, well, would you allow two people that are man and woman that are fornicating in your house? Well, sure, he said, and I have, you know, and of course we have, and I have, and so it made sense, and he did the right thing, repented, and shared the love of God with them. But then again, now right on the other hand, see that young lady or somebody, you know, like her, they're not claiming Christianity. See, then you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and he said, if a brother, in other words, if a man says, I'm a child of God, I sit in your house, in your pews, I'm a child of God, and then the rules change. They're altogether different. The rules are altogether different then. Paul said, what have I to judge those that are without? God will judge them. It's for us to judge those that are within. In other words, he said in chapter 5, he went on to say, not to fellowship with them, not even to eat with them. If they say, I'm a believer, since I've been preaching here, since I've been ministering, I know of two people personally. Now, it wasn't while they were going here. One guy, a few of you will know him, but most of 90% of you wouldn't, because it was before your time. Him and his wife would go, came here. They had some kids. He was part of the worship team, and one of them little kids grew up to be a young lady that chose a same-sex partner and then married her. Then one of the churches that I went to in Fort Myers, Holy Ghost Spirit-filled church, one of the main worship leaders, I watched her grow up, and she stood on stage and led worship, beautiful, just gorgeous, and she chose the same lifestyle, so they're not still having her lead worship, thank God. And then she married another young lady. Well, in both cases, you remember I read the story about Amy Grant, who was having the same sex thing she was hosting that on her farm or her ranch, and said, well, God just made it simple for me. You know, Jesus said, to love God and love one another. And I'm thinking, my God, you have left out the whole Bible, you know, the whole New Testament. You're supposed to love God, and you're supposed to love God enough to obey all of his commandments. And Jesus spoke vehemently against such things with all love, but shared that those things will send you to the lake of fire. But both of those cases I'm thinking of right now, both of those fathers walked, to my understanding, walked their daughters down the aisle to be married to another same sex. Now, Pastor, now what's their mentality? Well, probably, because I know both men, I did know them, and I was shocked, but probably the mentality is, well, I'm not supporting that, but I'm supporting my daughter. I want her to know that I love her. Well, Pastor, what's scriptural? What's right? Well, marriage is between a man and a woman. Period. It doesn't matter if the Supreme Court says that it's legal. Well, Pastor, would you as a Christian, if they invited you, because Christians did go, would you go and just show your love? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, Pastor, no, wait a minute. What if they're not confessing Christians? You said we're supposed to treat them different. Well, let me share this with you. See, this is where righteousness has come to the body of Christ, that we judge in every area that we have the mind of Christ. Listen. Well, Pastor, okay, would you go to a wedding where people had, they weren't born again. You disqualify that. They weren't born again. And they were living together. What's the difference? Would you go? I not only would go, I might be the reciting minister that married him. Hebrews tells us that marriage in chapter 13 is honorable and the marriage bed undefiled. It didn't say Christian marriage. Do you understand that? Well, man and woman can be fornicating one night, and the very next day it's sanctified by God. Not just Christian marriage. The institution of marriage is sanctified. So, yes, I can show up where they were living together last week, and now they're walking down the aisle, and now they're going to be, because God can sanctify what in that situation, he can sanctify what was fornication, but he can never sanctify that other situation. It's always going to be perversion. It doesn't matter who pronounces wife and wife or woman and woman. That will always be a perverted situation that can never be sanctified by God. The church is in a mess. People just, they can't reason. They hodgepodge everything and they think, well, I don't understand. Maybe I should show up and give them my support. Well, you know what? Marriage and witnesses, wedding people in attendance are supposed to be witnesses on heaven and earth that something is done. Jack and Jill could have been fornicating for 10 years living together. The next day, see, couples, I think on maybe one or two occasions. Now, if they come to me and they say, will you marry me? And I say, okay, well, first of all, I've got to share Christ with you. I've got to share Christ. Are you born again? No, sir. Are you born again? No, sir. Would you like to be? If she says yes and he says no, then I've got a situation. Then I have to say, I'm sorry. I'm in a stalemate here. I cannot marry light to darkness. I just can't. See, then I'm sinning then. I can't do that. But if she says no and he says, or she says no and he says no, and unless there's any other problems that I foresee, well, sure, I can marry him. Because marriage is a ordained institution. It's sanctified. I hope you don't think that all your sinner friends that are married are fornicating. They're married. That situation can be sanctified in a moment. The other can never be sanctified. The church is coming to places where we're leaving the thought processes of this world, these fathers that go and give their daughters away and say, but I love them, I'm supporting them. No, they're helping send them to hell. They're helping send them to hell. So the church is in a place where others like you that are watching and you that I are coming to a place where we're loving God more than we love life itself, and we're wanting this outpouring, and we're saying, Lord, come in critical mass and just absolutely turn every stone upside down, inside out. Judge everything. Judge everything. Okay? Now I hear him saying something else. So if there's anything else that'll help you more than anything else, or just as much as anything else, it's in Isaiah 58. Go there with me. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you getting anything? Hallelujah. I'm following him. I'm having a good time. Bless you, Jesus. Mola kareste dedikere. Well, Isaiah is the fasting chapter. And I'm not going to go into the first 6, 7, 8 verses because it's all an argument that Israel was making. It's amazing, a preamble this is a shadow, but it's an incredible reflection of everything that we receive in Christ when we begin to fast. The first 7 or 8 verses are Israel arguing, no, we're fasting. He said, you're not getting anything out of your fast because you're doing it for debate and all the wrong reasons. But then he lays out the fast that he's designed for them and what the results will be. I'll just start, let's see, about verse 8. He says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear ward or guard. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke and the putting forth of the finger. I caught this by revelation years ago, and then I looked it up, and it's amazing how that it actually goes along with what I understood. But he says he's going to take out of you through fasting the putting forth of the finger. Now, that's not talking about a vulgar sign of our modern day time in which we live. It was the putting forth of the finger of blame. In other words, no excuses. And later in this chapter, he says that you'll not hide yourself from your own flesh. We'll read that in just a moment. But I can tell you this, when he says, you'll call upon me and I'll answer, thou shalt cry and he shall say, here am I. I'm just going to tell you this. And I'm going to encourage you, just like I encouraged you, first of all, about prayer. I'm begging you in a good way, not that we have any rebels in here, but I'm just saying to you, for us to, I'm begging you to come in and use your authority in fasting as well as in prayer. I'm not talking about 40-day fast or 3-week fast or 10-day fast, whatever, a day here and a day there and just continuing, because when he said that what will be the result of it is that you'll cry and he'll say, here am I. I can promise you one of the greatest results of fasting is to bring your spiritual ear to a place of hearing, absolute hearing. There's never a time in my life that I can hear his voice. When I'm not fasting, I can hear his voice. It's not like he doesn't respond. But I can tell you how, I just want to testify how real that verse is that when I get past, I think for natural reasons, I can't testify to you about somebody else's. I can just testify to you about the truth that I've found in this. When I get past about 3 days, and when all the when the haze goes away from the from the sugar burn off, and this will work just a day on or day off or 2 days a week or whatever, because after a while it'll have the same effect. When I'm praying in the mornings, when I'm not fasting, I'll sit and I'll talk to him, and then I'll listen and he'll talk. But there is somewhat of a challenge sometimes. And then I'll pray a little bit more to make sure, and I'll check to see if that was him, and then he'll come and confirm. But in fasting seasons, past a certain point, it's just like there's no thought of whether or not it's him. It's just, it gets so clear, it's clear as, I can testify, it's just as clear as Candy's voice. And I'm not hearing an audible voice. I'm not wanting you to think, oh my God, he's being taken away in dreams and visions. But I can promise you that one most wonderful ways that he's asking us to come in, and he's given to us, and we've taught this over and over again, there's places in fasting where he'll come to you. And I will say this, and this is my testimony. Maybe other people will share different. In all my walk in Christ, in all my walk, all of anything that I've ever, great revelation that I've ever come to, and I'm not saying it's great, I'm just saying all revelation's great. But I've never experienced the depths of a quietness and a peace. The closest times I've ever come to it was in deep worship. If I ever got really deep into worship and I was crying and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, and it was really wonderful, and I'd go into a baptism of peace at times for hours. But I don't think anything has trumped yet the levels of peace that'll come at some point in going into God and fasting. There's depths of peace that all I can explain to you is that I'm seeing enough of this. This is all I'll testify to you. That I'm seeing enough in some of those places is that what we're striving for, as in miracles, that I see that. And it's good that we're striving. It's really good that we're striving and pushing forward. But I can see things at times inside of those realms of peace, unease, and it has to be the advertisement of revival, or it has to be something that he's introducing to my spirit, because what I can see is the ease of inside those places that we're asking for. That people being healed of all kinds of miraculous things, blind eyes and deaf ears and anything that you could say, we really hadn't seen much of that. It's not going to be a strain. It wasn't a strain to him. It wasn't a strain. It wasn't a working up of his faith. It was as natural as just living inside the Father. So I promise you, I'm not trying to share something like I've arrived. I'm just trying to entice you to say, please, please, go with us. Go with me. I promise you this. I won't do anything or I won't teach anything that I'm not doing. I won't teach anything that I won't do. I will lead you. I will be in front leading. And I'm not saying that for accolades or saying, well, boy, we just really, I'm just telling you, follow me as I follow Christ. And there's other people, there's other men and women that, I'm not the only one, I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you, I've chosen to go in. And I believe I have some friends and family that are going to go with me. He says, then shalt thou call on the Lord, and the Lord shall answer, or thou shalt call and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry and shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from thee from the midst of thee the yoke and the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, well, that's the blame card. Like, all my life it's been somebody else. Well, no, it's just, in the old song, it's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's just me. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shalt thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be a watered garden, and like a wellspring, or a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And thou shalt, and they that be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot, and it goes into other instructions about honoring the Sabbath. Hallelujah. Won't you stand with me? Hallelujah. I had a song that's been ministering to me recently. Do you think you could get that ready? You know, it's one we sing in here, but I'd like for you to just, you know, you get a song sometimes that'll minister to you, and I'd like for us to worship through it just a little bit. The season has come. The judgment's come to the house of God. And that judgment is not necessarily now for those who have any authority to cause this to happen. Stop all the killer sins. Oh, we're going to bring people in here that are going to be, isn't it going to be great to bring all these people in here, watching them get born again? You're going to have a bunch of people that are coming in here. I'm glad I got some ordained ministers, because I'm going to have them be marrying these people. They'll be coming in here one day by maybe the hundreds or by the dozens, and they'll be living together, you know, and that's fine. And we're going to give them space. You know, if they've set up housekeeping and they're together, you know, they can't go home and necessarily get rid of all their stuff and divide it. And, you know, and they're going to get, married in 2 weeks or a week. We're going to tell them, you know, get married quick, but you can take care of your stuff, sleep on the couch or in the other room. But we're going to give them time, because they're going to come in here and they're going to get born again, and they're going to be, you know, their whole lives are going to be changed. Hallelujah. And you women are going to take these young girls that were confused about who they were and what they were, and you're going to be confident enough that you can put your arm around them and teach them to be women, and they got born again. Now you're going to teach them, and if they so choose, you're going to pray for them a good husband into their life, and all those wonderful things that are going to take place. This is going to be a revival for the ages, folks. It's going to be a revival for the ages. And we're not going to snub anybody. We're going to just say, look, boy, hallelujah, they got born again. Now the real work starts. Hallelujah. Now the critical mass starts. Hallelujah. Well, would you lift your hands with me? You at home, let's just worship God for just a few moments.